From the land of the Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 6th day of November, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. We'll look at the cash grain markets with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility. That's in Logansport, Indiana. And discuss the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Along the way, Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, will have an update of the agricultural news for the afternoon. And I'll take you to Washington, D.C. We'll talk with United States Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa about the prospects for the Farm Bill and how he sees it playing out. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Let's check now the Wednesday afternoon settlement prices from the CME Group in Chicago, where the December soft red winter wheat finished 2¾ lower at $5.63¼. The March at 6.62¾, down 4½, and the new crop July at 6.67¼, 3½ cents lower for the soft red. The hard red in Chicago at 7.16½, down 5¾ in December. July at 7.09, down 4¾. December corn futures at 4.21¼, 3¾ lower. The March contract at 4.31½, down 4 cents, and May corn $4.39½, down 3¾. July contract 4.46½, 3¾ lower. December corn at 4.61¾, down 4 cents for the day. And the March contract of 2015 at 4.71, that's down 4¼ cents. Soybeans, November beans at 12.63, 3¾ cents higher for the afternoon. January 12.55, up 4¾. And the March at 12.40½, 4¼ cents higher. And May futures 12.31½, up 4¼. July beans 12.28½, up 4. And November of 2014 at $11.50¼, 5 cents higher. December bean meal futures at $3.96.80, up $4. December bean oil at $41.14. That finished a penny lower on the afternoon. The Mercantile Exchange live cattle futures finished the December at 132.25, down 2½ cents. February futures at 133.90, up 7½ cents. And the November feeder cattle at 164.85, were up 7½. January up 47½ at 165.55. Lean hogs finished $87.35, down 90 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the afternoon are currently trading the nearby December contract at $94.88 a barrel. That's $1.51 higher for the day. RBOB gasoline at $2.54½, up 2 9/10 of a cent for the afternoon. And the ethanol futures are now trading December contract at $1.60 of a cent. And that's down a penny and 4 cents. The spread between those two is 93 9/10 cents. It has widened out since yesterday afternoon by 4 3/10 cents. Natural gas at $3.49 8/10. That's up 3 2/10. Diesel fuel trading $2.86 9/10, just about 5 10 cents higher. And the gold futures at $1,317.80 an ounce, $9.70 higher. Let's check the weather forecast as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Showers are likely. Those will come before 4 this afternoon. Cloudy with a high of 57 degrees on a west-northwest wind at about 16 miles an hour, gusting to 26. The chance of rainfall set at 60% in the area. Cloudy during the early evening hours and then gradual clearing, a low of 29 on a northwest wind at 8 to 15, gusting to 23. Thursday, sunny skies and 50 degrees. Thursday evening, mostly clear and 29, and Friday sunny skies and 51. By the time we get to Friday evening, partly cloudy and 38. Saturday, sunny skies 55. Saturday night, mostly clear and 35. And on Sunday, sunny skies and 51 degrees. Sunday night, partly cloudy and a low of 35. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Learned Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learned Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
On this Wednesday afternoon, let's check in on the commodity markets. Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson is on the phone line with us. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's start with USDA's report, the expectations, the possibilities, the changes that could come.
Well, you know, when you look at the expectations, you can really tell that there's a lot of disagreement, I believe, between analysts, you know, as to where they think it's going. Everybody is pretty much in agreement that it's probably going to go higher, but boy, I tell you, the ranges are big. And then when you saw Informa's numbers come out, you know, the average guess for corn is a little over 14 billion bushel crop. Informa came in at 14.2. Average guess is 159.4. Informa came in at 161.2. And I believe that, you know, that the big question will be, are we going to lose 1 million acres in harvested acres? That is pretty much an expectation. So, you know, this corn market is pretty much walking on eggshells at the moment, wondering what's going on. You know, we put in a 38-month low today, and 401 is, or 398 and a quarter is actually the contract low. So, you know, the question has to, you know, has to be right in your face. Will we test that if we do come in on Friday and find out that we have more than about a 2.2 billion bushel corn crop or 2.1 billion bushel corn crop? I think, you know, the market's been negative for quite a while. But, and so let's put it this way. If we come in and we come in at what the expectations are, we could probably expect to see a small bounce. How much of a bounce? Maybe back to 440, somewhere in that neighborhood. But if we come in higher than the expectations, then I would expect to see them go down and probably try and test like the 415 area. That's actually the 162% retracement of the move from June in 2012 to the low to the high of September of 2012. So I think, you know, this is an extremely important report. There's no question about that. And it will have a big impact on anybody who's storing corn. You know, from the standpoint that when you look at it from a chartist standpoint, you know, the March corn projects out to low areas just like we see the December. In other words, you know, we're more like in a late 90s pattern again, where the nearby month goes off lower and then the month prior to that or after that works its way down there. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the pattern that seems to be developing here. And so I think it's really important that all of our guys who listen, you know, if you're holding it because you feel that there's going to be basis improvement, you better handle something when it comes to your to the carry in the marketplace. Dave asked me this morning. He said, "If I'm a farmer and I said I want $5 for corn, can you get him there?" Well, you know, I hear that question a lot, and my first comeback is always the same thing, and that is, let's be concerned about where it is right now, and look how we're going to protect that, and then we can figure out if we can get you there. There's different strategies that a person can use. But everybody keeps saying it's going to bounce. It's going to bounce. Well, okay. Where's it going to bounce from? You know, if you're waiting for a 40-cent bounce and it comes 50 cents lower from now, did it do you any good? That's the question. You know, that's the type of environment that we're living in now. And so we're all hopeful. And, you know, even when you look at the higher estimates for the crop on corn side of it, there's a lot of increases in demand in there. That's helping keep us at, you know, around 2 billion. So, you know, let's hope we get lots more. We saw China take 7.2 million bushels of inspections this week of corn alone. And so we know that they're buying some corn. Let's just hope that they're going to buy more.
Did I see, in fact, that China opened the way to import more corn from South America today, too? I believe
it
did.
Well, that's what they said. You know, it's very interesting what's going on in between there. You know, now on the opposite side, you know, Argentina is one of the biggest exporters, and Argentina doesn't appear to have the ability to move very much out of there. So who knows what type of a move that actually was from a psychological standpoint. But, you know, the Argentinian situation is serious. They've got double-digit inflation down there. In fact, they just extended their controls over the grocery stores. They're controlling the price on over 500 items in the grocery stores just to keep people basically under control. And then this morning they came out and they said they're going to force their seven largest grain exporters to actually go out and get financing from a different currency instead of using their currency. I don't know how they can legally do that, but, you know, just to give people an idea of what that means, if I'm a grain exporter and I'm going to need to buy grain from you somewhere down the road, I not only need to buy the futures if I can't get it from you, but I also need to hedge myself in the currency in case the currency changes, because that has an impact on how much I'm paying you. And so Argentina's currency has been all over the place, and so they want to eliminate that. And so what do we see in the dollar today? We saw a lot of selling coming into the dollar. I think we have exporters who are going to come in here, they're going to sell the dollar hard, and then they're going to try and cover themselves using the dollar instead. But there's a lot of things going on. You know, it isn't just about the crop anymore. It's about everything else that's going on in the marketplace, and that's the world marketplace, and currency leads the way.
Currencies, other things that are in the outside area or influence, Washington, D.C. has been dealing with WERDA, or the water resources, that would open up some possibilities on the Mississippi and Illinois rivers. They're working through Farm Bill, and the RFS has some due dates coming up, too.
Yeah, it's coming up on Friday, you know, and ultimately, I think, Todd, even if they do something on the RFS mandate, it probably will not have much of an impact. The only impact it will have, of course, is the perception when you look from a trader's eyes. And so the initial will be one thing, and then as it plays itself out, will be a different situation. But I think it's interesting that it's going to be announced on Friday right along with this great big USDA report besides.
And then we haven't taken really up soybeans at this point. How do you view that marketplace?
Well, you know, it's interesting with the soybeans. When you look at the demand circumstance, it has been pretty amazing. In fact, China took 61 million bushels, and we only inspected 80.6. So it just goes to show you how important China is to us from that standpoint. I think the trade is beginning to take a stance that says with how strong export sales have been, and if they continue to be that strong, our first quarter might actually come in maybe slightly higher than a year ago, but with the implications that we could see extremely tight bean supplies again. And so I think, you know, that's going to support the bean market, and hopefully will help in the corn market too, from the standpoint that, you know, they kind of work off of each other. And so I feel good about the bean market. I do recognize, you know, if you look at January beans right now, supports at 1240, you know, then 1222. Could we get there? Certainly.
Hey,
especially if I'm in higher than the guests.
One last thing yesterday afternoon, and I think this is across the board, even from our side, when we're reporting on these things, maybe even from the side of the producer, but well, the marketplace is kind of boring, huh?
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
We'll figure out something. We got to figure out something.
Well, you know, it's usually the week before a big report is pretty dull anyway, because the amount of people that are actually involved really dwindles. And so that may not be the case at 11 o'clock on Friday, I can tell you that much.
It might not be. Hey, thanks so much.
Jackie, thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Jackie Banks, of course, is with Stuart Peterson. She joins us here on the Wednesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report.
In agricultural news, after another costly campaign, agribusinesses today defeated a biotech food labeling initiative in the state of Washington. Initiative 522 would have required labels for most foods sold in the state of Washington to include ingredients from biotech crops. The ballot measure failed 54.8% to 45.2%. with more than 986,000 people casting ballots on the issue. A year ago, a similar proposal failed in California to label biotech food. Opponents of the initiative donated at least $22 million to defeat the Washington state measure. The top two contributors were Monsanto with $5.3 million and DuPont Pioneer with $3.88 million. Cargill Incorporated today says it will begin labeling ground beef that contains an additive known as finely textured beef, a response to continuing public demand for transparency in the wake of last year's public reaction over a product critics called pink slime. The U.S. meatpacking giant said that starting early next year, it will affix the label on cardboard shipping boxes containing retail packages of fresh ground beef. Tubes of ground beef that go into retail meat cases will be labeled by the spring of 2014. Lean, finely textured beef is industry jargon for filler made of scraps left over after cattle are butchered into steaks and other cuts. Food products labeled as natural are starting to disappear on U.S. grocery shelves. A growing number of food and drink companies, including PepsiCo Incorporated and Campbell's Soup Company, are quietly removing these claims from packages amid lawsuits challenging the naturalness of everything from potato chips to ice cream to granola bars. Food labeled natural raked in more than $40 billion in U.S. retail sales over the last 12 months. That's second only to food claiming to be low in fat. The Food and Drug Administration has no official definition for natural, but rather a long-standing policy that it considers natural to mean that nothing artificial or synthetic has been included in or has been added to a food that would not normally be expected to be in the food. A food labeling modernization bill introduced in September in Congress would force the FDA to establish a single standard nutrition labeling system, including new guidelines for the use of natural. At least 100 lawsuits have been filed in the past 2 years challenging the natural claims of many foods. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, and a whole series of meetings you can learn more about on our willag.org website. Hit the Outlook meetings calendar there, and you'll find a compilation of Will Ag marketing meetings and some of the U of I Extension functions that I host, in part including the Ag Masters program, along with our December 10th and 11th marketing meetings. Those are in Mount Vernon and Sikeston, Missouri, respectively. The Farm Economics Summits start the week of December the 16th. You can register there, or at least find links to register at our willag.org website. Again, you have to hit the Outlook Meetings calendar link over on the right-hand side of the page. The Corn and Soybean Classic Series dates are in that list, along with the Chicago Farmers Farmland Fair and an update of a panel that we'll be having in DeKalb County at the Center for Agriculture. That one sponsored by Castle Bank. There'll be many more. We're just getting started, but you can get a look at what we're up to and when you can come see us and get registered for some of those events as well. It's all at willag.org, and then hit the Outlook Meetings calendar. That's the link on the right-hand side of the page. Up next, Washington, D.C. has been struggling with the farm bill for 3 years. It's still not done, but many are hopeful. Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley is predicting now that House Speaker John Boehner may end up settling for a majority of Democrats, not Republicans, to pass a farm bill. He says he would do that in the same fashion that he did to reopen the government after its shutdown.
I think that he's going to do his best to get a majority of the majority to be supportive of it. But like he finally found himself on opening up government, it was unrealistic to expect that. And eventually you got to do what's best for the country. And as Speaker of the House, he's going to do what's best for the country.
But getting a majority of the minority won't be easy, says Senator Grassley, either, especially if negotiators agree on a farm bill with billions more in food stamp savings than a Senate's proposed $4 billion over a 10-year period. No one knows yet where the House-Senate sweet spot is. Some say $9 billion less than a fourth of the House $39 billion, but they'll look for the biggest number that the Senate may accept. Speaker Boehner thinks Grassley may face a similar choice on dairy reforms, where top House Ag Democrat Colin Peterson insists on a supply control approach. Boehner and the House have already rejected. Grassley was asked if Boehner would walk away from a deal that has Peterson's milk market stabilization plan.
There's going to be trench warfare up to the very end, and when Boehner has to make a decision, he's going to make a decision what's best for the country.
Grassley has his own fight over payment limits and related reforms in both bills that some are trying to remove from a final bill. And if they're successful?
I don't think it's going to keep a bill from passing, but it means I'm going to fight hard and probably vote against a bill that doesn't have my payment limits in it.
Senator Chuck Grassley hand-delivered a letter to top Senate negotiators last week saying that changing nearly identical provisions in both bills would violate Senate rules and invite continued criticism of farm subsidies and the threat of elimination. Well, you're listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media. This is the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming, recapping the weather forecast as it comes from the National Weather Service for the area tonight. Cloudy skies, a low of 29 degrees. We'll go to northwest winds by this evening, and that'll change things out as it clears up. By Thursday, sunny skies in 50. Thursday night, clear in 29. And Friday, mostly sunny and 51. Friday evening, partly cloudy and 38. Saturday and Sunday, sunny skies, a high 55 on Saturday and 51 on Sunday. Let's check and see if the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana, are on the line to take a look at the agricultural marketplace in Cash Grain. Good afternoon to you.
Yes, sir. How are you doing, Todd?
Oh, I'm fine, and I am talking to who today?
Stephen.
Hi, Stephen. Good to have you with us. Mr. Lineberg, can you tell me about the end of the season there? How far along are folks and much corn left to come out?
Locally, feeling pretty confident that we're in that probably 70-75 mark. I think beans a little higher than that even, of course. Still a few double crop beans out there that need to come out, which is a bit concerning. And some of that wetter ground that just could use a little drier weather, and I think we'd have beans pretty much wrapped out. But locally, we feel pretty comfortable right now. Things starting to wind down.
Comfortable today, but in a week and a half when you're still looking at it in the same position.
Week and a half probably is where I don't want to necessarily use panic mode because it's kind of a negative word, but the search for bushels to cover into December is certainly what it will cost to get bushels to come out of the bin that month.
Is that for soybeans and corn both, or just?
I would say beans not so much. I think the inverse in the market keeps beans moving on the forefront, as you know, the market's not asking farmers to store the beans. But I would say due to the lack of harvest in areas because of the wetter temperatures, you know, I think basis continues to talk for both sides. Yeah.
Yeah. So your idea here is that if we stay wet enough, even if we dry out, we may be wet because of the cool temperatures, I suppose.
You bet.
That we could have a pop in the marketplace just hunting because everything's been put away and what was supposed to come in still
I would say so. I think what we're looking at on the forefront is the USDA report to come out that giving us a bit of a bearish tone. So the pop in the market, I think, would be pushed, you know, certainly by a little bit of demand from an export side, number one, and the lack of bushels moving because harvest continues to be delayed because of the precipitation.
And your bids for the day?
Cash corn at Climbers, 401. Cash at Delphi is 404. Cash beans at Delphi, 1247.
Thanks so much, Stephen.
Thank you, Todd.
Stephen Lineberg is with the Anderson's Climbers facility. That's in Logansport, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Wednesday afternoon. Back in just 2 minutes, we'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
It's National Nachos Day. In their simplest form, nachos are generally tortilla chips covered in melted cheese. The origin of nachos generally goes to a restaurant called the Victory Club, just across the U.S. border from Eagle Pass, Texas. Wives of several U.S. soldiers were visiting on a shopping trip and stopped by the restaurant after it had closed for the day, and the chef on duty invented a new dish for them with what little he had in the kitchen, tortillas and cheese. On this day in agricultural history in 1923, hyperinflation was running rampant in Europe. A loaf of bread cost 140 billion German marks. In 1976, David Marine died, an American pathologist. His research on the treatment of goiter with iodine led to the iodizing of table salt. Iodized table salt was first sold in the U.S. on May 1st of 1924. In 1986, President Ronald Reagan signed into law the Immigration Reform and Control Act, granting legal residency to most illegal immigrants who had been in the country continuously since January of 1982. And in 1993, the world's largest peanut butter and jelly sandwich was created in Peanut, Pennsylvania. It was almost 40 feet long and used 150 pounds of peanut butter and 50 pounds of jelly. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner is here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It is or has been a little wet here. I'm hopeful that things will dry out. Can you tell me about that, please?
Well, they will get a little bit better next week. You know, the problem with being wet in November is the fact that our temperatures often don't get warm enough to really evaporate moisture out of the soil at a fast pace. So even though the forecast is looking better for next week, we'll likely see some drying take place, but it's probably going to be slow go. So it'll take a several-day period next week for us to get enough sunshine and drying to take place so that we can get back into some of these fields that are so wet. We did pick up a lot of moisture, of course, overnight, and we're going to see the eastern Midwest continuing to deal with precipitation during the course of the day today, but it will come to an end. The next weather system that comes across the region will be one that occurs Friday into Saturday. Now, this one is going to be further to the north, probably impacting the Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan. There's a slight chance we'll see a few showers trail back to the south of this event across parts of the western Corn Belt and even in the lower eastern Midwest. But whatever precipitation there does occur in those southern areas will be very, very limited. Just a brief shower, just seconds probably, or just a couple minutes at the most, and be gone. But in Michigan and Wisconsin, it'll be a little bit different up that way. The next disturbance that comes in is actually going to be a cold air high pressure system that will be settling into the region for Sunday through Tuesday. And that's the reason why next week's forecast all of a sudden has turned a lot drier. This cold high pressure center will dry out the air. It's also going to force the temperatures down quite a bit. We'll have a lot of significant freezes across the region for a couple of nights, probably Tuesday and Wednesday mornings. And the big worry here is that when the high pressure center drops into the lower eastern parts of the Midwest, it'll start pumping moisture back up out of the Gulf of Mexico into the plains, setting the stage for another rain event, perhaps at the end of next week for the western Corn Belt and on into that following weekend. So we're going to have a break here. I'm just not convinced we're going to see enough good drying conditions between these precipitation events to really get aggressive in the field. But certainly every opportunity should be taken.
Turn your attention to South America. Give us a quick update of the beginning of their growing season.
Well, it certainly looks like Argentina got a million-dollar rain event last week, the end of their long-term drought in the heart of the country. They had been dry for 3 months in some locations. They got anywhere from 3 to 5 inches, local 7-inch amounts. Now, we've got another rain event that's coming up here for the next 2 or 3 days. It'll produce some light rainfall in southern Argentina. Heavier rains will occur in Argentina in the central and north over this coming weekend. Another 1 to 3 inches will occur. So you can tell the bottom line here is that Argentina will not be planting aggressively either, and they'll be fighting the mud for a little while. But conditions will get a little bit better after we get into next week. In Brazil, everything looks great. A good balance between rain and sunshine is occurring. Everybody's going to have enough moisture to plant aggressively, and there will be enough periods of drier weather to accomplish just that.
Hey, thanks much, Drew. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.